Well, the Missouri House of Representatives has a new speaker. His name is Tim Jones, and he's a Republican from Eureka, Missouri, on the eastern side of the state. One chief priority for Republicans this year, finding ways to spur economic development so that Missouri can keep up with Kansas when it comes to attracting businesses. For the first time since the Civil War era, Republicans will be operating with huge supermajorities in both the House and Senate that will allow them to override vetoes from Democratic Governor Jay Nixon without the help of minority Democrats. Speaker Tim Jones joins us now. And Mr. Speaker, welcome to our show. So good to have you today.
Steve, it's great to be on with you, and it's great to talk to you again. I hope everyone in Kansas City is enjoying some nice weather today.
I appreciate that, Tim. And as you know, Kansas has put in place significant income tax cuts to spur job growth. How much pressure is Kansas putting on Missouri these days when it comes to attracting jobs, Tim?
Well, Steve, as you know, the Kansas-Missouri border war has been going on for decades. Going back to when it was a real war, and now it's become an economic border war, and it's just as serious. I've made many trips over to Kansas City over the last several years. I consider my role as a state representative to be global in nature, and I've learned a lot about your region over there and visited with all of the folks who helped make Kansas City and the region run, from the chambers to the civic council to a lot of the job creators, small and large businesses you have. And the pressure, it's real, Steve. It's absolutely there. And many are not sure long-term if Kansas can sustain the new plan that's gone into place. It's not the plan that Governor Brownback, as you know, originally wanted. It actually went way beyond that.
Yes.
So a lot of people are saying, you know, he kind of called them out and said, fine, I'll sign the bill. But a lot of folks are saying it's unsustainable because of the cost to the budget. It's going to be in the upper hundreds of millions, I think $700-800 million. And I'm not sure we have to do an exact quid pro quo, you know, match their plan exactly with a plan of our own. But I do think we have to do some combination of looking at our tax structure and perhaps making some tax cuts, but also putting some of those incentive tools into place that Kansas has had for a long time, and they're using greatly to the detriment of Missourians.
You know, the Republican candidate for governor this year, Mr. Speaker, Dave Spence, said any number of times on the campaign trail that Missouri just doesn't have the money to cut taxes in significant ways. Is that the case, or do you see things differently?
Well, you know, every month we get new updates, and as you know, over the last 3 to 4 years, we have had a significant budget crunch, and due to a lot of bipartisan pushing and pulling, we were able to reach a lot of consensus on a true balanced budget. It took a lot of effort. Some significant cuts had to be made, but I think we're past the worst of that, and I see this year as more of a stable budget year. I don't think we're going to have a lot of additional revenue, but I still think you can do some things that would end up being revenue neutral if you look at closing. You know, a lot of the talk these days are about making, you know, looking at the internet streamlined tax issue, closing the Main Street Fairness Act is what it's being called. It's being pushed on a bipartisan basis, both federally and on our state level. Closing some loopholes in our tax structure, maybe then you can reduce some taxes. But I think it's also important to look at those economic incentive tools. You know, we compete every day with 8 surrounding states, and many of them on our borders are winning that border war because we don't have those same kind of incentives. We have great entrepreneurs here. I think we rank 6th in the nation for entrepreneurs. The problem is, once they get their business to a certain level, states like Kansas have a lot of tools that lure them across that border.
So you think there is room to do to implement some of those tools to sort of help Missouri compete better with the likes of Kansas and other states that surround Missouri?
I think so, Stephen. And you know, there's a lot of different ways to do it. You can look at, you know, 2 years ago in the special session, which was not so special in some ways.
Yeah.
But we did have a bill. Folks forget we did have a bill that almost got across the finish line that was going to completely eliminate, I believe, 21 largely unused or underutilized tax credit programs, 21. That would create some significant cap space, because the problem that our budget folks tell me is whether or not a tax credit program is being utilized, they have to take it into consideration when they're creating the budget. It's a gap that has to be considered, whether it's used or not. So if we can eliminate those programs we were going to eliminate 2 years ago, if we can look at our caps and say, okay, are they at the right level, or can we lower them a bit on some of these other programs, we can create that room to create some of these new incentives.
Yeah. Now, I'm wondering about your own background, Mr. Speaker. How did a Minnesota kid wind up as Speaker of the Missouri House?
It's a long, strange trip, I would say, as people say. So my father and mother are both Missouri-born and bred. My father was born on a small farm in southwest Missouri. Hmm. I'm very proud to say we still have the family farm in the family. My dad goes down every month, and I go down with him a couple times a year. And, yes, I have actually driven in fence posts and carried hay bales. So we've got a farm in southwest Missouri. It's now in, I guess if you count me, it's in the fourth generation. My mom is from St. Louis City. She grew up in Maplewood. She was a school teacher early on in her professional career, and then she became a homemaker. My father's a veterinarian. They met at University of Missouri Columbia, like a lot of our parents have. We were in Minnesota when my dad was sent up there during the war. He was a captain in the Army. Mm. They sent him up there for 2 years. So, of course, we came back home once his service was completed. I grew up in the St. Louis County region. Went to St. Louis University High School, a fine Jesuit high school over here. So I actually went to school in the city of St. Louis. So I was exposed to St. Louis City and all of its wonders and all of its challenges early on in my life, which is why I have a real appreciation for urban life, and I'm a big fan of our cities. Went away for law school and college up on the East Coast, and then I came back home in 1998. I have a background as a prosecutor. I was a prosecutor. That was my first job out of law school. And I've been with the same law firm, small law firm on the very outskirts, kind of on the border of St. Louis and St. Charles County. My law firm's been very good to me. They understand the importance of public service. They've supported this crazy journey over the last 6 years. And I rose through the ranks, and I'm really honored to be the speaker for the next 2 years.
We're visiting with Tim Jones, the new speaker of the Missouri House of Representatives. Mr. Speaker, you ran for office for the first time in 2006. Why did you run? What drew you to service in the state house?
Sure. So, Steve, I've always had a public service component in my upbringing. My mother and father instilled into me at a very early age, and as I mentioned, I had 8 years total of Jesuit education, both at SLU and Fordham University, and they always preached that, and so it was really instilled in me the importance of that. I learned the importance of public service, so I was always engaged in some kind of community service activity, and my first job out of law school was serving the public as a prosecutor. So I've always wanted to do that, even in private practice. Mm-hmm. I was an alderman for 6 years in my little city of Eureka. I worked very hard with the town fathers and mothers, and I brought business and government together, and we did a lot of great things back in that time. Jack Jackson was my predecessor.
I knew Jack.
He ran. You remember Jack?
Sure.
The great pilot, the war hero, the Boeing test pilot. Jack is still very much around. He's still flying. He left office early. So even in a term limited world, people do leave office early a lot. And he left early after his fourth year to run for state auditor. That opened up the seat. And it wasn't probably the best time. I don't know if there ever is a best time to run. I was just starting my young family. And my wife's been extremely supportive of this life. And I ran for the state house and won, and worked my way up through the ranks.
You know, for the first time since the Civil War, Tim, Missouri Republicans hold veto-proof majorities in both the House and the Senate. What does that mean exactly? And is it as simple as Republicans can now control the table in the state capitol?
Steve, as you know from covering the Capitol all these years, it's not. You know, it's the simple number of 110. That's the math number. The reality of always having 110 people agree on anything it takes a little more statesmanship and a little more gamesmanship and some persuasion. So, you know, I look at that. You know, we were very happy on election night, but we quickly. You quickly move past the celebration phase, and 110 is not something to gloat or celebrate about. It's a responsibility. And, you know, I actually have had the opportunity to sit down with Governor Nixon over the last several years, and we've had the chance to talk about policy. And he and I probably don't agree on some major philosophical differences, but I know where we agree is on helping Missourians move up and do better, increase their standard of living, increase our jobs here in Missouri, increase our businesses, and have a better life for our families, for our communities. And so I think there's things we can work on. I think having that majority, that supermajority, I think it'll help the governor and I. We're going to have to talk a little more often probably. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good, because I've never had a bad conversation with him where we disagree. We simply agree to disagree. But I think there's some initiatives There's some huge challenges ahead for Missouri, and it's going to require the governor and us to work together.
You've complained in the past, Tim, that the governor doesn't share his concerns about legislation until, you know, a bill is already on his desk and he's ready to take action on it. You think that's going to change now?
I hope so, and you know, I won't throw any of my minority members under the bus, but I'll tell you that a lot of my Democratic colleagues in the House, they have that same complaint. They don't always hear from our governor as well, and you would think there'd be a little more connection there with the same party members. But I think the governor, you know, he served for 16 years as attorney general. That's a very different office, and I think it's taken him a little while to sort of transition into the governor's role, which is you have to be a lot more engaged with the public every single day. You're under the microscope every single day, unlike the attorney general. Who can be the chief prosecutor and law enforcement officer and protector of the consumer, whereas the governor's got to work with a lot of different factions every day and has to be out in the public a lot more. And I see him growing in his role. I do have that complaint about him that, you know, a lot of times we hear about his negative opinions on bills after we've worked for an entire session on them and vetoed them, but then says, well, change a couple sentences or paragraphs and we have a deal. I'd like to hear that on the front end, so I welcome that engagement.
You know, the Missouri Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Speaker, the Hospital Association, and different medical providers are actually backing an expansion of Medicaid in Missouri. That's an option available under the Affordable Care Act that President Obama has pushed so hard. A study out today says that doing so would have a significant economic impact on the state. I'm wondering, what do you think about expansion of Medicaid in Missouri? And would the legislature consider an expansion this session? Where do you think that's headed?
Well, I will tell you that at the first reaction from, and it's been fairly unanimous on my side of the aisle, is that we don't want to just flat out expand Medicaid. And the reason for that is it's once again going down that road of the federal government offering a very generous carrot on the front end. And it's true, there would be some immediate benefits to the state to the tune of a lot of millions of dollars. In the long term, though, without us doing anything, Medicaid expands in our state already $150 to $200 million a year.
Yeah.
It's unsustainable unless we have entitlement reform spending at the federal level. That's a whole different story, as you know, a whole different ballgame that we largely can't control. So a lot of my colleagues on the conservative side of the aisle, some of the doctors in the House, some of the attorneys who are interested in health care law, they're looking at Medicaid transformation, not just expansion. There's better ways to provide services to our Medicaid population. And I think, you know, I'll take a look at what the chamber is proposing and all the other groups. We don't just want to flat out expand the entitlement because it already does expand every year. But I'm always open to new ideas and how we can make Missouri function better for our health care to our poor and needy.
Missouri House Speaker Tim Jones is our guest. You know, you just spent a couple of days in the Kansas City area just a week or two ago, Tim, and I'm wondering what you saw. And I'm also wondering about all the talk in this town about moving the UMKC Conservatory of Music to a new downtown campus near the Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts. That project carries a price tag of tens of millions of dollars. I'm wondering if the Missouri House is inclined to support a project like that through some sort of subsidy, maybe even this year.
I better not speak on behalf of my budget chairman in case he's listening. He might be calling me up next. So we're going to have to first look, Steve, at where, you know, do we have any room in the budget? You know, are we below? Are we even? Are we above? And what projects should we prioritize? So I am a big fan of the KC region. I'm actually going to be back over there Monday. The freshman tour is coming to Kansas City.
Right.
We have almost 60 new legislators. I'll be joining them next week over there. And I've enjoyed learning about the area. I want to keep it competitive. I know you're in, a very serious border war with Johnson County, Kansas. And so whatever we can do to make the Kansas City, Missouri side more attractive, and I think your downtown area and your plaza area and your hospital system are parts of those gems. Mm-hmm. I want to promote those, but before I make any promises on budgetary items, I'll have to see what the big picture is.
You know, Tim, just 30 seconds left here. I got to ask you about ethics legislation. House Democrats this week unveiled legislation aimed at limiting campaign contributions and restricting gifts from lobbyists to lawmakers. As you know, Missouri is the only state in the country that allows unlimited campaign donations and unlimited lobbyist gifts. Do you see pushing ethics legislation this session?
Well, I know that I've spoken out about this back in the primary. I've mainly focused, Steve, actually on the not-for-profits who are shuttling around hundreds of thousands of dollars without any transparency. Representative Barnes and Richardson are already working on that bill, so we will have a vehicle. I don't want to say that anything has to be or does not have to be in the bill because I don't want to make the perfect the enemy of the good. I do understand the issue. I want to move the issue forward.
Tim, it's always good to have you here. Thanks so much for taking some time.
Steve, I really appreciate being on with you, and hope to see you again soon.
I'll see you down in the State House, you bet. That's Tim Jones, the new Speaker of the Missouri House of Representatives. You can find more information about our show at kcur.org. Tomorrow on the program, we'll look at how technology might be interconnected with our brains in the future. Also, Brian McTavish will be here with our weekend to-do list. Our show is produced by Steven Steigman, Danny Alexander, and Beth Lipoff. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you are up to date.